like to present our first scientist, Dr. James E. MacDonald, who now holds the position of senior physicist, Institute of Atmospheric Physics, and professor, Department of Meteorology, University of Arizona. Briefly, his educational background includes a B.A. in chemistry from the University of Omaha, an M.S. in meteorology from the Boston Tech, and a Ph.D. in physics from Iowa State University. He has been a research physicist at the University of Chicago and has taught physics at Iowa State University prior to his current position. He is a member of the American Meteorological Society, the American Geophysical Union, the Royal Meteorology Society, and Sigma Psi. I am honored to present our distinguished guest, Dr. MacDonald.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to have the chance to talk with you and discuss the results of what I have found in approximately 12 months intensive study of this extremely interesting problem of the unidentified flying objects. I began about last April to take a close look at the problem, having been moderately interested in the problem for some years prior to that. Had been at Wright-Patterson at Project Blue Book, gone through 150 or so cases in their files, examining and looking at them. Have been up there three times talking to scientific and military staff at Blue Book. Had talked with the people in the Air Force, both scientific and military, about other aspects of the problem. Been around the country discussing with independent groups such as NICAP here in Washington, one of the outstanding independent groups, which has done an excellent job over the years at digging into this fascinating problem. Have on my own work interviewed dozens of key witnesses in important cases around the country and have examined hundreds of cases in a good deal of detail. I've gone over Air Force evaluations, Dr. Menzel's analyses of problems, and other evaluations, and it's against that background that I now tell you that the sighting that Mr. Powell discussed, which I was quite interested to hear about, is by no means representative of the categories of sightings that demand immediate, serious scientific attention in this country and all over the world. And that's part of what I'm here to tell you today. This is not a nonsense problem as it has been made out. A lot of you have had fun, I suppose, writing feature stories about little green men and hoaxers and so on. Believe me, that's the wrong part of this problem to take a look at. In the past week, I've spent all of my time discussing with scientific colleagues and with military people in Washington my serious concern, and I'm glad to be able to say to you that this week, I think I have given 10 talks this week and briefings. I'm glad to say to you that scientific and official concern is beginning to change. I've been at the Office of Naval Research, the Naval Research Lab. I've been at the Pentagon twice this week, briefing, studying in the military, Air Force and other personnel. I've talked to Academy, National Academy people this week, National Science Foundation, and other persons whose influence on the problem, I believe, will quickly show up, but whose affiliations I'm not free to discuss with you. I have to say to you that as a result of a pretty close look at this problem, I think we've all missed the boat. I think we have been misled. I think the problem has been most seriously mishandled officially for 20 years. The problem has been misrepresented by many interacting factors, including yourselves, including scientists such as myself. And I have tried to put all this down in a rather long paper that's at the back of the room, and I can't possibly in 20 minutes go over all the details of this, but I'll refer to the sections of this 28-page paper as I go along. I hope that, since I know you can't read that now, and I know you can't read it before you leave, I hope that all of you will take back, either to read on the airplane or to return with it and give to your scientific editors or aeronautical editors or what have you, that paper, which goes into considerable detail, develops my point of view as best I can. I think the problem has been superficially and incompetently handled by the Air Force. I have said that in many open discussions. I have said it to Air Force generals this week. I said it to Air Force generals months ago. And I say it again. The history of the problem, as Major Quintilla briefly indicated, began in 1947. The turning point in the problem, and I briefly go over this, because all of these details are spelled out in my paper, the pivot point in the history of the UFOs was the Robertson Panel of 1953. Five well-known scientists assembled by the Air Force and CIA to have a look at the problem. There, the security agency concern that led to that group grew out of the heavy wave of reports of 1952, not exceeded even by last year's 1,000 reports. I was startled when I went into Major Quintilla's office and saw 5 feet of shell being just devoted to the 1952 wave of sightings. So many that security people were concerned with the clogging of intelligence channels. They had five scientists assembled. They spent 2 days, these five good men, and 2 days is just not enough to look at this problem. They ruled there was no evidence of hostility, no artifacts of a hostile foreign power, suggesting that an educational program be launched. This was never done. It would have been a good thing. The fourth recommendation, which came from strong interaction with CIA representatives in this session, and I have in my report on page 6 or 7 mentioned the names of persons whom CIA representatives, page 3, who were there. The interaction led to the recommendation, and I quote from the report, I'm in the peculiar position of being almost the only one outside of official Air Force channels that has seen this document. Major Quintilla gave it to me, and I made extensive notes from it. When I asked a subsequent visit for a copy, things happened, and it has been reclassified by the CIA. I made no comments about this for several months. It was fully clear to all the personnel at Blue Book and in the Foreign Technology Division that I had all these notes. I have no hesitation now to discuss it in full. See my paper for more details. The actual request was for, quote, debunking of the flying saucers, and the reason was to, quote, reduce public interest in flying saucers. This is not a sinister and dark objective. They wanted to get the noise out of the signal that was clogging the intelligence channels, but it was a scientific tragedy that at that time this problem was not turned over in face of non-hostility to scientific groups. It was not. It stayed in the Air Force, and gradually, as nearly as I can see, it is downgraded to an extremely low-priority project, which Blue Book, when I was there, first involved the major, a sergeant, and a secretary. Now, Major Quintilla has indicated that the Air Force draws on other sources of expertise, and when we read the press releases from the Pentagon desk, we do indeed get the impression that Air Force expertise, which is not zero by any means, has been used. My examination of the problem strongly indicates that that Air Force expertise has had very little to do with Project Blue Book, and that this is the heart of the problem. For instance, in the case of radar, I talked not very many days ago to the Air Force's best radar propagation man, Dr. David Atlas, who indicated to me, no, he never been brought into any discussions of propagation anomalies or anything like that in all his years at Air Force Cambridge Research Lab, and I could go on to illustrate examples of that sort. The question of what the UFOs are is crucial. When you look at sightings such as that Mr. Powell and Mr. Pave have talked about, and when you realize, as I now do, but did not 12 months ago, that these are not unrepresentative sightings, that close-range sightings of disks and cigar-shaped objects frequently seen at tens of feet within populous areas are on the increase. Credible observers, multiple witnesses. Case in Beverly, Massachusetts, where 5 adults, 2 of them police officers, were within 20 feet of an object that was right over the middle of the street. This is a description. In fact, in my paper are 18 cases out of thousands. And this particular case of last spring, that sort of thing, and Powell's observation, are representative of the interesting observations. They are not confined to the United States. One finds this going on all over the world. When you look at this, as far as reports, now, I can only vouch for the American reports that I have checked, and those are completely staggering. And when Blue Book tells you and me, as we just heard a moment ago, that there is nothing in the unidentified objects that defies present-day explanation in terms of science and technology, that's balderdash. And that is Kansas utter rot. This kind of a dome-shaped object that Mr. Powell saw, well, if it was the only one you ever heard of, you'd forget about it. But look at the unidentified cases, Exeter, Damon, Texas, Fort Huron, Michigan. Look at the sightings only a couple of months ago in Davis, California. Look at these cases that simply fit no conventional, no scientific, no known explanation. Something is going on here of the greatest scientific interest that has been shoved under a rug, ridiculed, and laughed out of court. You've helped ridicule us, your feature writers. It's easy to write a funny story. Once the Air Force tells you there's nothing to it, what's more logical than to say people see things? There are a lot of nuts around the country, and that has led to the fact that very few of these are reported. For example, Mr. Powell's report never got on the wires. He called after a day's deliberation. He told me, Naval Air Station at Willow Grove, and they weren't very interested. He didn't go any further with this. And the number of people who have been hurt, inveterate citizens who have been hurt by Air Force callous rejection and discrediting, saying they saw twinkling stars and so on, is a very large number that I have had first-hand contact with. And I'm a little disgruntled as a citizen at all this kind of... If there were some reason for it, if there were a national security reason, but it's just incompetence in operation. And this is serious problem to speculate that there might be some conspiracy. And I've given that very careful thought for a number of reasons. The group at NICAP here in Washington has had much more contact with this problem than either the Air Force or I. And they have again and again encountered cases where it looked to them as if there must be some really high-level conspiracy. People have suggested maybe Blue Book is only a front organization and doesn't know that it's only a front organization. Well, I can't begin to tell you the sources that I have checked on this, but I do not think it's a grand cover-up. It is a grand follow-up. A follow-up of incredible proportions, unprecedented in my experience. There have been scientists who've looked at the problem, and not very many. Dr. Mensel is one. And on pages 5 to 7, or 7 to 11 of my paper, I make illustrative comments on my strong disagreement with the basis of his arguments. I cannot agree with the optical, physical, astronomical principles that argumentation that he uses in there, and that's spelled out so clearly on pages 7 to 11 that I'll not elaborate that in detail. I do not believe they represent scientifically sound analyses, and you can see examples in the paper. Another person who has recently looked at the problem is Philip Fast, who has thought perhaps these are plasma phenomena. That's a reasonable thing to have a look at, and I've had a look at it. I can't agree with Philip Fast that any substantial portion of the cases can be accounted for in corona or ball lightning terms, and I make a few comments about that on the same pages. Recombination times, lifetimes of plasmas, in the best labs in the country, it's the biggest problem with fusion research. You get lifetimes of more than seconds. But how did Mr. Powell see this plasma coming along at him from ahead and watch it for tens of seconds? How did two California highway patrolmen at Red Bluff, California, stand about 150 200 feet from a 100-foot long object that had great big white blinking lights on it that maneuvered up and down and led them a chase of about 70 minutes? How did the Portage County Sheriff's deputies of last spring follow for an hour and a half a the plasma or a twinkling star or, as Major Quintanilla has said, a combination of Echo and Venus. An explanation that is utterly absurd, and it still stands as an official explanation. Congressman Stanton has been told, the reinvestigation confirms that. That, too, is utter rot. And I tell you that this sort of thing has to stop, and you editors are in an excellent position to help stop this by pressing for what I am afraid at this juncture may be the only way to escalate serious scientific concern, and that is to ask for a full and fair congressional inquiry into the past 20 years of mishandling of this extremely important problem. Now, a scientist doesn't usually like to pursue these kind of routes. I don't. You often get not only less than you hoped, you get into, you lose scientific progress, but sometimes you don't. We must have a hearing that is not like the one last spring, which was called by Congressman Ford as a result of constituents' concern over Air Force handling of the Michigan cases, which were explained in terms of swamp gas. No single explanation is brought to Air Force Corps ridicule. I discussed that case in my paper, too. That, too, is nonsense. And this still stands the explanation. This is an explanation that came directly from Dr. Hynek, and Major Quintanilla has assured me that it's he, not him, that I must have my discussions with, and I have, but the explanation has not been retracted. When Ford got an investigation, who did it? Armed Services Committee. Who testified? Three Air Force-related people, period. That we can't have. We must have what NICAP, for example, has been pleading for years. They're on the back of the room, a couple of other papers that I left. And if you want to get the best source of information about the whole UFO problem, the single best source, the leading reference on the back of those papers is a reference to a publication from NICAP called the UFO Evidence. In that, it comes to mind at the moment, because in that is a long summary of their unsuccessful attempts to persuade congressmen. They've almost had it several times to persuade congressmen to launch an investigation, and this, I'm afraid, is needed because we scientists have been assured so long there's nothing to it that I have found out, I've gone around the country, I suppose I've talked to 15 scientific groups, Rand, University of Washington, colleagues in the American Meteorological Society. And over and over again, I encounter the conviction that there can't be anything to this. The Air Force has investigated for years and years and shown there's not a shred of evidence, the sort of phraseology you heard a moment ago. This even shows up abroad. Jacques Vallée, a French investigator of UFOs who's now in this country, has written two fairly good books. Answered my question about why doesn't the French government, for example, do something. He said when we go to the French government, they say the Air Force, the United States Air Force, has been spending a lot of money for many years on this and have shown there's nothing to it. Why should we spend the French money? And so this image of expertise that has been spread abroad, which has denied it zero, is holding this problem in a limbo that it must be blasted out of. And I don't think that the scientists, though I saw some progress this week, progress of an entirely different sort, I don't think we're really going to get the serious concern among many top-notch scientists. What we need is scientists much better than myself to look at this problem. This has to go to the top-caliber scientists all over the world because something is involved here that is a concern to all of us. And is not a simple problem. I mean, what do you, obviously, how am I going to explain a 30, 40, 50 foot disc that goes by and experiences 18,000 hours, Powell has, I found. And he sees this as just like a Cadillac, tens of yards away. That's going to take really good scientists, and I'm afraid, in fact, that even the best are going to be very bewildered when they examine, as I, for example, have examined, the astounding volume of evidence that exists on this problem that has been generally put under the rug. Wire editors know it's a lot of nonsense. If something happens out in Sauk Center, maybe the Sauk Center Gazette doesn't even report it, but if it does, the wire editor is disinclined to report it. And so the discrepancy between what you as editors suspect is the nature of the problem and what you see in just looking at clipping service coverage where you get all the Sauk Center Gazette reports is incredible. I couldn't believe it when I first saw months ago, last spring, NICAP clipping service coverage on this problem. I thought I knew something about the problem, but the number of incidents that are Shamokin, Pennsylvania, or Custer, Washington, what have you, that I've never heard of, and nobody else hears of, but you read the New York Times in your own paper, you won't have heard them, because we have collectively helped the Air Force just kind of forget about this somewhat uncomfortable problem, and you have helped, and yet the evidence is simply astounding. Well, I much prefer to talk about the purely scientific aspects of some of these explanations. I have no startling scientific illumination of the problem. It's baffling to me. Nothing in my scientific education prepares me to give you a pat explanation of what is going on here, but I am saying to scientific colleagues, on the basis of this examination of many cases, which are not hoaxes and fabrications in total. There are hoaxes, there are misinterpreted phenomena, there are all these things. They are not advanced test vehicles, believe me. No Air Force test vehicle is going to go for 5 miles behind a load of gas truck in Oklahoma, as Anderson under Temple was telling me. This sort of thing, landing in the middle of cities, and no American test vehicle is going to be tested in Brazil or New Zealand, and no Russian test vehicle is going to be tested in the United States or England. There's every reason to believe that the phenomenon is global. They're not advanced test vehicles. They're not hallucinations. I've had three sessions with psychologists to try to get at, is there anything in your clinical experience that would match this? The answer is no. Certainly doesn't sound like anything psychological, and after all, when you have some cases of dozens of witnesses, and there are such, frequently radar sightings, although they involve the Air Force, those are disclaimed and blamed on weather, electronic malfunctions, and so on, and this sort of thing, and is there blamed that way after 1953? If you want to get all the Air Force radar sightings, you go back before the CIA requested debunking policy and Air Force Regulation 200-2, all of which is discussed in my paper, by the way, with more detail than I can go into here. Well, what can be done? The Colorado program is a beginning, but I am uneasy about the Colorado program. There is not nearly enough scientific talent on that program. I've said that quite openly without intending to carp to many people in Washington, and this must be beefed up immediately. $1/3 million is to, I guess Art Buchwald said, what a terrible waste of taxpayers' money. That's not true if Buchwald is in the room. What we need is much more attention to this problem. That unfortunately requires money, but it requires people, and that's what's short on Colorado. They have not taken the problem, I'm afraid, seriously enough to muster the scientific talent to do justice to that. And we need immediate escalation of the problem. Congressional inquiry, if you can press for it, will perhaps do the trick. I also will send the problem awry, and I don't have great confidence in that being the greatest solution, and I'll continue to try at one scientist to pursue it in other ways. The problem belongs in a science-oriented agency, not the military. And by their own statement, with which I agree, there is no clear-cut evidence of hostility. Let's get it into a scientific agency. Amusingly, all my efforts to interest NASA in this give me the feeling that they think it's nonsense too. I think they've been hoodwinked and sort of unintentionally brainwashed for years and years. And all this is not as a result of any high-level conspiracy. It's just a follow-up. But a follow-up of really, really incredible proportions. We must launch a new level of investigation, and to close on that point, there are very specific things. Radar is already deployed. The trouble is it's compromised by present regulations. There are many radar sightings. This would be an immediate, objective source of information that could be put into scientific terms and be very useful. There are a large number of electromagnetic effects known in the evidence, car-stopping cases. Lovell in Texas of 1957, a fascinating case. 9 different variables stopped. But this is going on all the time. A nightcap must have 150 examples of this. There it's going on in Australia, England, and so on. Associated with this are apparently interference effects, radio and TV, magnetometers, map compasses, a lot of electromagnetic effects. Well, we are collectively very good, not myself. Science knows a lot about electromagnetic sensing devices. Many things could be done quickly if only the thing were taken, the problem were taken seriously. Airlines, there are many airline reports in the old evidence, but once the Air Force began to discredit, and they have, just in some cases, unfortunately, discredited pilots, that source of information has pretty much dried up. That can be changed. Mobile teams need to be prepared to get out into the field in a hurry with a lot of gear, and this can be done. I discussed this in the Pentagon last week with people who know a great deal more about that sort of thing. The whole question of the pre-1947 sightings, which I can't begin even to sketch, must be looked at by historical scholars as well as students of history of technology to examine the interesting question of whether sightings that appear to constitute a continuum at low levels, running back to the turn of the century at least, are the same phenomenon. My camp is coming out with a volume in a few months that represents a good compilation of evidence. It needs historical sophistication to assess it. That's a very important thing to do because the whole nature of the problem is quite different if it is the case, and I lean in this direction, that aside from the marked increase beginning in 1947, there appears to be the same phenomenon of craft-like, machine-like objects operating in our environment for tens of years. The heart of the problem is the ridicule that, and you're sitting on it. You're sitting on it in a way that is very important. Get off the lid. That is, get your wire service people to take it seriously. Look at the problem yourself. Examine it for yourself. And get off that lid, because that's a big part of the problem now. You don't know whether changes in the frequency of sightings is a real change, or just because you have given it serious credence in your area, and so people come out with reports that they wouldn't otherwise have told a soul about. You're on the lid. Get off it. Ask for congressional investigation. Read this report, the 18 or 20 editorial comments that were assembled. See that some of your colleagues have already pressed for this, pressed too faintly in the past. And have a look for yourself at the evidence, and you will find an astounding picture of enormous interest that has been mishandled and misrepresented for far too long. Thank you.
The juicy controversy. Well, now I'm all shook up myself.